Now, I'm joined in the studio by Colin Taylor, who last appeared on Eat My Brunch in 2020 with Sylvia Kent. He is the chair of Brentwood Writers Circle and he's a writer himself and has got plenty of books which we're going to be talking about, like The Sticker Monster, The Squeaky Pen, Two Brothers, and lots more. So really lovely to chat with you. You are so funny.
Oh, am I? Thank you. Yeah, Sean always used to say that to me. You're so funny. And I would think, really? Am I? Okay.
Well, I was going to talk about your early... talk about how you got interested in writing, but you were also a teacher for over 30 years.
Oh gosh, yes, I was, yeah.
Wow.
Don't do that anymore.
No. Did you stop a long time ago? How much did it change over the years?
Yes, it did change a lot, but the thing is, I'm not in charge of anything anymore. But you see, people have asked me, do you miss teaching? I say, no, I don't miss the teaching, but I miss his children.
Yeah.
Now, I've got two grandchildren who are wonderful, and I do, I write stories with the older one, she's six, and that's lovely. But I like being with children because I respond to them. And I'm all right with adults as well, but, you know, children.
But you used to teach younger children, not so much teenagers.
It was... Oh, gosh, no. I used to teach nursery all the way up to year six, which is 11. So, you know, 4 to 11, that's my sort of age group.
Yeah, which sounds like a nicer age group rather than the teenager.
I don't mix with teenagers much.
No, stay away. So, Colin, when did you get the writing bug yourself?
When did I start this? Well... My dad put me right off writing. I could see the fear in his eyes when I said, oh, I want to be a writer. It's about age 12. And so he said, well, writers do this, that. And I thought, oh, God, I don't do any of that. I can't be a writer. But I used to write this most awful angsty poetry as a teenager, as you do. And then when I was at one primary school, I wrote three musical plays. And the music person's husband composed all the music. So I kept it going. But it wasn't until I was about 50-odd that I started actually writing. And I started writing stories. And then I had this idea for The Restaurant Bear. And that was my first one. And now, what am I working on? Yeah, I've got so much. But I was invited to go to Brentwood Writers Circle. And Sylvia Kent... I'd only been there a couple of months. She said, I want you to seriously think of being vice chair. Yep. So I looked behind me to see who she was talking to. And there was no one there. It was me. What? You want me to do that? Okay. All right. I'll do it. So I've been on the committee ever since. This is the third time I've been chair. You can only be chair for 3 years running. Then you have to let someone else do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, we meet every month and we've got about 45 members or so. And the thing about it is we're a very welcoming society. Anybody who fancies writing, come along. We will help you. Yeah. Because there's a wealth of experience there. We get people who write articles, short stories, all that sort of thing. We get people who write novels. We get people who write letters to the council. We have people who write letters to newspapers, people who write journals. And it's wonderful because we have lots and lots of guest speakers. We meet the first Saturday every month. Did I say that already? God, yeah, I don't know. And we have a website. If you go on and just Google Brentwood Writers Circle, you'll get the website. And there's an old one, but ignore that. There's the new one that says it's pink and it says my site. If you go on there, it gives you loads of information. Yeah. We have guest speakers during the year. We have a writer's day. We have showcases where people can read their work and then they can get some feedback and help to improve. And then we have we call them workshops, and we have discussions. Sometimes we do some writing and we do about publishing and marketing, because that's the thing you have to do.
Yes, you do. Yeah. And then it's good to be able to share. So I think sometimes, you know, if you're at home, you're writing, you think, oh, no, maybe I'm not good enough. If you go along to the Barswell Social Club, you can meet other people. They're really friendly. Nobody's going to... And the other thing is, it's like a musician. Just because you play your song in front of other musicians, it doesn't mean they're going to take your song and rewrite it.
No.
So you've got to go down there with an open mind to say, this is what I'm working on. Can you help me? And because there's loads of help. And it doesn't matter if you can't spell. Again, you know, don't worry about that, because you've got people there that can help you. Also, when you do a book, normally you send it off to be edited, don't you? Or looked at, you can have it sort
the
of
thing
read
is,
over.
Publishing is not straightforward anymore. Mm. It used to be that you send off to publishers, etc., etc. You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
You can do that route, but even if you get yourself published, they still want you to do all your advertising and marketing.
Yeah.
You can self-publish. I've self-published. Yep. I've got four books on my on Amazon, yep. And I've got a website. So you can go down that route, and then it's the marketing.
Yes.
Because people think, oh, I've written my book, done it. And then they think, oh, I've actually got my book out published. I've done it. No, you haven't.
No. That's the very start, isn't it?
It's
very start
the marketing. Yes. And we're working on that at the Circle, because when we meet, that's a lot of what comes up with people.
Yeah. Because it is things like Instagram. It's now TikTok, which is amazing for doing stuff if you're creative as well. And it's just being able to, you know, if you've got your phone, you can do it on your phone, or you might need a tablet, because my eyesight's pretty bad. I need something a little bit bigger to be working on. So let's talk about some of your books, because we talked before about your books and writing for children. So what was your very first book? You did mention it earlier, but what gave you the idea for the...
The Restaurant Bear turned up because... my wife and I went off to a campsite up in Northumbria, and it was birthday. So we went to the local restaurant, and inside it was decorated with tartans and armour and weapons. But the most amazing thing, off to one side, was a huge stuffed grizzly bear. And it was absolutely amazing. And because we were there quite early, young children, we actually had to wait a little while, and the children were getting restive. So I said, see the bear over there? Comes alive at night, goes to the kitchen fridge, eats some of the beef burgers and the beef and stuff, and then it does things. And then of course the food turned up, and I said, oh, I'll write the story for you sometime.
Yeah.
So I did it 10 years later.
Yeah. So you've got that book, and tell us about some of the other ones. Are they more sort of, is there like a trilogy or anything, or are they all individual books?
Well, The Restaurant Bear Returns is the sequel, and I've finished that. I'm just waiting to, it's almost ready to be published, and it will be soon. I'm just getting the front cover sorted out, which my daughter did for me. Well, my wife painted it, and my daughter's put it in a position where it can actually go on and be there on Amazon.
Oh, wow.
So that one is done.
And does she do all the artwork for all of the books, your wife?
No.
You went, no, she doesn't.
No.
She needs to.
She's very, very good, but she only does what she wants to do, and that's fine. We get on fine with that. But this book, which I'm holding up and you can't see, of course, is called Charlotte and the Painted Pixies.
Yeah.
Now, our granddaughter, Charlotte, she loves painting. And this is how this one came about. Because she does that, and somehow it just pops into my head. She spills the paint, and in the night, these little footprints appear. And it's the Pixies. And then one gets caught in a trap because they think there's a mouse. So Daddy sets a trap and they catch a little painted pixie. Because she'd got covered in all the paint. And my wife actually did illustrate this one.
Yeah.
And I got somebody, Paul Burridge, who's a brilliant guy. And he does lots of the writer's circles and other people's books. And he puts them onto Amazon for you. And he's very reasonable. He's very reasonable. So he did this one for me.
Yes.
And it's there.
You've got your voice. I said this to you before when you come in. You've got a great voice, and you can tell that children must, you know, when you do storytelling, they must just sit there going, oh, and you know, because you bring everything to life, and it, because you could read it and it could be sort of dull, but you've got such an enthusiasm for you know, children's stories and talking to children.
I am a stand-up storyteller as well. I haven't done that for some while. You know, I know a lot of storytellers. And I forget who the comic was, Northern Ireland comic, and he used to say, it's the way I tell them.
Frank Carson.
I love Frank Carson. He's died, you know, but he's brilliant, and he lives on in people's memory. And I always remember him saying, it's the way you tell them. So that's it. Individual storytellers tell their stories differently. And I tell stories from the worldwide repertoire, can't even say it. But I also tell my own, and I can get children to write because I've been a teacher.
Yeah.
And I love doing that. And then I've got this book in front of me now, which is called Return to Eden. It is a book for 11 plus. Adults have read it as well, and they've liked it. My brother actually read it, and he actually liked it.
So what's that book about then?
Well, it's... okay, I'll just read you a little bit of the blurb. A future world is locked in perpetual winter. Survivors inhabit a coal pit subject to a harsh authoritarian regime. Now, Finn, a young tech prodigy, is banished to the icy wastes, and a mysterious purple crystal unlocks his memories and psychic gifts. And he survives, guided by a benign force to Sanctuary and Nisha, an empathic friend. Going off and hunting for supplies, Finn encounters Moot, whose psychic abilities echo his own. And together they risk everything to traverse a frozen ocean. Can they solve the enigma of the Earth's past and set it free from its ice age and return to Eden?
You see, I'm drawn into that straight away because I like my sci-fi and stuff, and I like things that are a bit mystical, mystery.
Oh, well, it
sort
is.
Of thing.
Yes, it is. Yeah. I love. So that's that. I mean, this first happened. Oh, grief! I read this article about the Earth millions and millions and millions of years ago. When it turned into a snowball, everything froze.
Yeah.
There is evidence for this, a bit contentious. Not everybody believes it. Not all scientists believe it. And that stuck in my head. And I thought, ooh. And then I read an outline, which was a review of a book about a boy being banished. And I thought, ooh, yeah. Because there are only so many plots. And so I thought, well, if I put that with that. And then, of course, you had the Eden Project in Cornwall.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in my story as well.
Yeah.
And my wife and I visited there lots of times.
Yeah.
And I spoke to somebody there and they actually sent me some plans of it all. So
all
I knew
right.
how it worked.
Yeah.
And it's like a giant has taken a scoop
yes.
out of the earth, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it was actually a quarry for China clay.
Yeah. A fantastic place to visit.
Oh, it is. Yeah. And it's in my book.
Excellent. So that's Colin Taylor. You have a website, as you said, and you can find all the details for Colin, and I'll put it up at the end of the interview. So what's coming up next for you? What are you working on at the moment? You showed me a list.
I have got a list. Right, okay, look, the Restaurant Bear returns. The Glitter Monster is on my website. That one's done. Charlotte and the Painted Pixies and Return to Eden, they're all done. Now, the Restaurant Bear returns, just doing the cover, as I say. And the Sticker Monster, which I've actually published, but it needs to go on Amazon, and I'm going to get that done. Now, then there's the Wish Dosher, who is really a dishwasher, of course. But, you know, the little girl can't say dishwasher, and she gets it wrong and conjures up this little fairy.
Yeah.
And gets three wishes. But his wand gets broken. Ah! Can't do the final wish. And then there are grey fairies which come in. So there's that one. That's finished, but I need a front cover.
Yeah.
Now, for my granddaughter, I wrote a story called I Beg Your Parsnips. Because when I was a primary school teacher with the little ones, they'd come up to me and say, Mr. Taylor, I'd say, I beg your parsnips. And of course, they'd go away laughing and forget all what they wanted. So I said this to my daughter, my granddaughter, and she said it was saying it for a short while to everybody. So I wrote a story called I Beg Your Parsnips about how she was trying to say I beg your pardon and got it all wrong.
Yeah. So you've got so many books, as you can hear from Colin, is that, you know, if you've got a local group or school group or anything like that, it'd be great to come in and talk some of
your stories. To do that. Yeah, I've done it quite a few times, but I'd love to do some more.
Yes. You can tell. You'd be great. You should just have an evening, Colin, where people come along and the adults can listen to books, you know, children's books. They love it.
Yeah, I will try and work that out with the library, actually. I haven't done that bit yet, but I will do.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this, going to do that.
Yeah, that's a bit like me. Also, if you're an artist out there and you want to get in contact with the show as well, because Colin, obviously, his books, he would like some artwork to go with them, so it could be a collaboration you could do. So, again, what's your website?
It's ColinTaylorTales.com.
Lovely. Tales. And it's T-A-L-E-S.
T-A-Y-L-O-R.
Oh, T-A-Y. Oh, there we go. I said it wrong. I'm not very good, am I?
Never mind.
Can't
spell. If you go on there, you'll see it. My son-in-law actually made it for me.
Yeah.
And there's actually a video of me there telling stories to children. Mind you, my hair's darker, but that's a few years ago.
Yeah, well, we all had darker hair a few years ago, Colin, don't worry. Well, I'm glad you didn't freeze outside, and hopefully you'll be back with us in another couple of months. Let us know how you're doing.
I'd love to come back again, yes.
Lovely to see you. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
That is Colin Taylor. All the details for Colin and his books will be up on the website. And as I said, if you fancy Colin coming into your school, if you're listening out there, and come in and read some stories, you can tell so enthusiastic, and your children will be transfixed for a good couple of hours listening. Right, just give me up to...